Good morning, City View family. I am away this morning speaking down the road at Living Hope Church. They asked a few weeks ago if I would fill in for Pastor Eric there, and since this was the week during this series that we had planned out just a few months ago that Pastor Jay would speak today, I said yes. But there have been a lot of things going on in the City View family and in the family of the Richmonds in particular. As you know, Chris Richmond went home to be with Jesus last weekend, and we had her services here this week. And I told Pastor Jay, here's what we're going to do. I don't want you to have to worry about this weekend. I want you to take care of your family. I want you to pastor your family. And I'll worry about this weekend. So here's what we'll do. I told him that I would preach here Saturday night. We would take the videotape, and we would show it to you here on Sunday morning. So this is going to be a little bit of a different experience for you. But I really think that God has a powerful message for us this weekend. And this really is our opportunity to do what we're talking about. This series is called One Great Love, our heart to reach the world. And we can't reach the world until we take care of our own.
Austin is a great city. There are food trailers, music festivals, sports teams, outdoor activities, academic and civic institutions, tech companies, and nightlife. It's a pretty cool place. But Austin is also a broken city. There's pain, grief, hunger, poverty, abuse, neglect, and isolation. This is our city. And as Christians, we're called to care for our city and be restorers of streets. But how? We know a lot of organizations who are doing some really great things in our city and contributing much to its restoration. And these organizations need people who will serve alongside them and care for the city together. We also know a lot of people in churches that want to get involved and live out God's call to seek the peace and prosperity of the city for the sake of the gospel. But there's a problem. It can be difficult to stay informed about what's going on and also know how and where to get plugged in. Our lives are busy and schedules are crazy. Even when we find the time, it's hard to figure out where to begin. Maybe this is where you are. And that's where we come in. We're the For the City Network, a nonprofit in Austin that looks to maximize and catalyze individual, community, and city restoration efforts. And one way we do this is by connecting people, churches, and organizations. We bridge the gap. We're a platform for organizations to share what they're doing and connect with you and other organizations, helping them be as effective and efficient as possible. And we're a resource for churches that provides you, the people, with a simple starting point and the tools to connect to mission based on what you care about, when you're available, how you're gifted, and where you want to get involved. We all love Austin, and we care about its restoration. Let us help you connect. Let's be for the city, for God's glory.
You might be asking yourself, why are we watching a video about Austin? Is this Texas? Greg, did you forget where you live? We're watching a video about Austin, Texas. And I'll tell you, yes, we watched a video about Austin, Texas. There is a church that I'm a huge fan of. Everything that they do, I learn so much from them. And their pastor wrote a book called For the City. And then their church mobilized to create this nonprofit organization to be there for the city. And so this series is called One Great Love, Our Heart to Reach the World. Last week we talked about how we meet in Jerusalem. We looked at Acts chapter 1, verse 6, and it says that when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And we talked about how that is Schenectady, that is Scotia, that is Glenville, that is our Jerusalem, that is our town, that is our home, that is our base of operations. This week we're talking about all of Judea, and that is the capital region. Next week we'll talk about Samaria. That's what we're going to equate to the United States of America and to the ends of the earth. That seems pretty self-explanatory, right? So this week we're talking about the capital region of the United States of America, kind of laying out kind of a vision of where we're headed. What kind of church are we going to be? And so last week I told you that in the next 5 to 10 years, it is our goal to have more people waiting to be foster and adopt parents than we have kids waiting to get into homes. There are far too many kids, 500,000 children in the United States of America, living in foster care, waiting to find a forever family. And so in the next 5 to 10 years, we are looking to eliminate that population here. And we got a bunch of kids who have mommies and daddies who love them and are teaching them to love Jesus. This week, what we're talking about is kind of being there for the city. And I'm not saying that we're going to create this nonprofit organization that gets together to meet the needs of the city, but I'm telling you that that's a great model for us to be a part of. We will, in the next 5 to 10 years, be the go-to church of this region. Now, that's not a bragging thing. That's nothing more than God told me to be so in the community that you become the go-to church for the community. There are far too many churches that kind of wait for you to come in. And we'll do ministry to you as long as you come to us. And that's not going to be who our church is. Our church is going to be a group of people who pursue people in their need. And so, why do we watch a thing about Austin, Texas? Because in the next 10 years, we will be what that church is. And that church is about 10 years old, and they're doing great things. So let me tell you a little bit about the Capital Region. You know, since I've been here for an entire year, what you guys need to know is that it took me about 14 months to become a complete expert in the Capital Region of the United States of America. Right? So in this region, there are about 800, depending on how you define the borders, where it is, what cities are the north, south, east, and west border, there are about 850,000 people that live right here in upstate New York. 850,000. And if current statistics are right, 2.5% of those people have a biblical definition of a relationship with Jesus. 2.5%. So in case you wonder what 2.5% of 850,000 is, it is 21,250. So 21,250 people right here in the Capital Region of the United States of America have a biblically defined relationship with Jesus. A lot of people will claim church. A lot of people will claim God. But a biblical definition, 21,250. And Pastor Jay is passionate about connecting churches in this region. And he would tell you, he said it last Sunday morning, when he was kind of doing a little wrap-up time at the end, that that's about accurate. There are churches full of people who don't have a biblical definition of a relationship with Jesus. The Barna Group, Barna is it's a research group. A lot of people hire them before they write a book. A publishing company will hire, I'm going to write this book. Like this church wrote this book for the city. They would hire a company like Barna. Because this guy's pastoring a church, he's preparing sermons, he's learned how to mobilize people, he doesn't have time to do all sorts of demographic research. So the Barna Group goes in, does surveys, they answer these questions, and they come out with stuff. So last summer, they came up with the book, Most Biblically Minded Cities in America, and we came in second to last, Capital Region of the United States of America, second to last, Most Biblically Minded, and that has to do with, do we have Bible stuff in front of our capital, in our city halls, these kind of things. How do our schools react to God being invited in, doing this stuff? So, probably March, April, they came out with a new survey talking about the most post-Christian cities in America. And they kind of went through, and there were 15 questions that they asked. And they came up with the short definition is post-Christian is at some point in human history, God, faith, religion were valuable to us to live and move forward in society. But that is no longer necessary. Intellectually, we have evolved past the point of needing the crutch of a God, past the crutch of needing religion. Karl Marx said this, that religion is the opiate of the masses. Religion is what people numb their mind with so that because they can't face reality. And so what they're saying is there are these cities in America who have evolved past the point of meeting God. And we came in Albany, Schenectady, Troy, the capital region of the United States of America, came in at number one. We're the most post-Christian city in America. So there are 850,000 people. 2.5% of them have a biblical definition of a relationship with Jesus. That's 21,250. 63% of the people surveyed in this area said that they've got no use for Jesus. 535,500 people. 63%. That's almost two out of every three people that you meet. So if you are standing there in a circle with two other people and you believe that God is everything that we need to live, you are probably alone. No, not here in a circle of people here, but if you work in a secular marketplace, if you work for the state, if you work in a school district, you're probably going to find yourself in the vast majority. 850,000 people and 535,000 people think that religion, God, Jesus, faith, were something that was valuable to us in humanity past, but is no longer necessary in humanity future. Why are we passionate about this region? Because it seems like it should be easy, right? There's a few of us, a lot of them. We just take up the good news, right? That just seems easy. I had no clue any of this was true when I left Texas. But every time I started wondering, man, I think being a worship pastor in the Bible Belt is a lot easier than this. And I'm not sure why you want me to go there, God. Sorry, Mom and Dad up here. It's cold here, and not enough people wearing cowboy boots and cowboy hats. You guys drive cars to work, and we ride horses. Let's go back down there. None of that, by the way, is true. I'm wearing high top skinny jeans and hipster tie and really? Hipster sport coat, right? I'm weird up here, and I was weird there, and it's okay. You know? I've been weird for 34 years, and in January, I'll change it to 35. By the way, it's January 3rd, if any of you are marking that down on your calendar, your birthday present. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some of the reasons why people might think that church, God, faith was a thing in the past, and then talk about how we can move forward. So flip in your Bible to two places. Open up to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. And then flip over back a few pages to your left to 1 Corinthians 4. Hold your finger there in Ephesians. We're going to be at 1 Corinthians, if you're new to this whole God, Bible, church thing, and you don't know where to find those books of the Bible, it's really simple. Flip to the front of the Bible. There's a table of contents. It'll tell you exactly what page number to go to, and that's it. Or flip to your Bible app. Just type in the words C-O-R, and it's going to come up. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to take just a few minutes to look at this, and then we're going to look at some things that we're already doing, and then talk about some ways that we can maximize that in the future. 1 Corinthians, is it chapter 4? Chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. This is funny because I kind of talked about that this morning, unless you're here on Sunday morning and I talked about it yesterday morning. It's kind of weird, but we'll get over it. All right, here we go. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for you were not ready for it. But even now, you're not ready. You're still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, as the Lord assigned each. I planted, Apollos. Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters anything, but only God who gives growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. So, you know, what does all that mean? Paul's telling them, sometimes I can't even talk to you with any depth. I can't talk to you with anything other than simple things for you to take away. You get this all the time. Oh, man, I went to this church and they weren't very deep. You know, I wanted them to just get deep. But then I went to this church and they were really deep and it was way better. And you kind of see where I'm going here is now we've stopped trying to chase Jesus and we've started chasing which church is better than another church. Which denomination is the fastest ticket to connection with God? Is the Assemblies of God Church the fastest way to connect with God? Is it the Presbyterians? Maybe the Catholics had it right. We're all wrong. Maybe it's the Baptists. I don't know. But you see what we're doing now is for 535,500 people looking in at us, 21,250, saying, you guys can't even figure out this thing that you believe. How in the world do you expect me to jump on board? You guys are fighting with yourself. You guys are saying Apollos. You guys are saying Paul. How am I supposed to follow any of you? You guys don't even know what you're talking about. I seem to be getting along just fine. I go to work and I get my paycheck. I pay most of my bills. What I can't pay, I put on my credit card. I worry about the heater in May. You know? Stop using the heater. Stop using the air. We'll pay a little bit more later, right? I seem to have it okay. You know, sometimes life gets tough, but I man up. I pull up on my bootstraps and put on big boy pants and I move forward. You guys sit here telling me that Jesus, following Jesus is the best way to live, and you can't even agree. And so then we wonder why our churches kind of spiritually shallow. We spend more of our time trying to figure out how to keep you here. We spend more of our time trying to figure out how to entertain you with our jokes and our hipster ties. Right? It does look, but maybe it looks good though, right? But we spend all of our time with this shallow stuff. So Paul's sitting here, his word to the First Corinthian churches. But it's not really the First Corinthian church, it's the Corinth church. He's got to write his letter saying, man, I can't teach you guys anything deep. You're too busy fighting over which way's the best. And so I'm going to tell you tonight, I might make some of you mad. I might be here tonight, tomorrow morning, sometime. You're mad at me for what I'm about to say. But I'm telling you that the Baptist church is not the answer to the world. The Assemblies of God, the Presbyterians, the non-denominational, hooked up with the Acts 29 network or the ARC network or any church planting network. That's not the answer to the problem that's going on with the church. The answer is that we have to stop trying to entertain you. We need to start mobilizing you. See, the problem is that most people look at me and say, it's my job to do the work of the ministry. That ain't my job. Scripture is very clear that it is my job to equip you to do the work of the ministry. You got that? My job to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So stop looking at me. Get up. Move. On behalf of 535,500 people. Where's my calculator? 535,000 divided by 21,000. Let's just go 500,000. This is going to play really well tomorrow morning on the video. Sorry, tomorrow morning. 500,000 divided by 21,000 equals. Man, it's easy. How many people do you think that you need to be in contact with? 24 people. You got to be in the life of 23.8 people. So 535,000 sounds really difficult compared to 21,000. But when you do the math, it's just simple math. 23,000. So no, we can't make a big dent in that number. So what are we already doing? What are we doing? There's a list here of things that we're already doing. We are involved with Renewal Prayer Network. Renewal Prayer Network is a ministry that Pastor Jay runs. He's kind of the head of it. What they do, one of the things that they do is a National Day of Prayer. It kind of falls under Renewal Prayer Network. They put together these prayer gatherings. They call them concerts of prayer. I've been a part of several of them. I sing two or three songs, and then they give you a prayer focus and pray for a little while. And we sing a few songs and pray for a little while. But really, my favorite part of what the Renewal Prayer Network does, or what Pastor Jay does, is there's another thing underneath it called the Capital District Ministers Fellowship. He is in hot pursuit of connecting pastors in every area. So he goes up to Gloversville and Johnstown, and he's connected a group of pastors up there. And so they're no longer trying to compete with each other, but now they're trying to figure out, how can we use what we've got together to build the kingdom of God? Is this about growing a church, or is this about building the kingdom of God? And so the Capital District Ministers Fellowship is a time where we come together as pastors the last Friday of the month. We worship together. I don't know if you guys believe this, but it's kind of difficult for us. We're always leading people. So it's difficult for us to get a time where we get to just worship. We talk about some strategic things. And so Pastor James is passionate about connecting pastors. You see why back in August when we talked about this series, why he was going to do this week. Because everything inside his heart matters. He wants to pastor. My heart beats to grow the church, not just this church, but the church on behalf of the people. His heart pounds for those of us who are leading that kind of get left alone. We get left to ourselves. So he's passionate about that. You could see it this week as he pastored his family, as he led them through a really dark time. They've known it's coming. It was ticking down every day. But you just can't prepare yourself to lose a family. You just can't do it. And so here he is standing strong because he loves to pastor. He loves to shepherd people through hard times. One of the reasons why I wanted to be right here when I first moved up here, I didn't know where I was going to plant, where we were going to build ourselves from. And I started leading worship here, and it was Pastor Jay's heart to connect churches. I don't really like church battles. Well, unless we're going to do like a tug of war or something, like a big pit of water, mud, and I get to be at the back so I don't have to end up falling in the water. Because inevitably my team always loses because they've got me. Again, I'm used to it. But those kind of church battles are fine. But when we start warning each other on Pastor Jay's heart to connect churches, and my pastor back home taught me this philosophy of leading with an open hand. And so whatever you've got, hold with your hand open. So that when somebody else needs it, you guys need some chairs and tables? Here you go. Bring them back when you can. You guys need some people? Yeah, not very many. Take what we've got. You guys need a worship band? Here you go. Take what we've got. That was Pastor Jay's heart. And I thought, man, as we talk, he really liked some of the things that I said. And he thought, man, I want to be a part of that. When I hear things he's saying, I'm thinking, man, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. We also partner up with Campus Crusade for Christ and Campus Renewal. Those are college ministries. Those are people who are on college campuses. Let's hear a story from my good friend Dave.
150 world leaders were educated in the United States. I mean, think about this. And then we got the president, former president of Iran, was educated in the United States. Bin Laden and his guy educated in the United States. What would the globe look like today if they accepted Christ as their savior? Politics. How does politics impact the political world? 1 in 4 college-educated students vote. 1 in 14 non-educated vote. So the number is very significant. Those who impact the globe, who impact our country by going to college, the big, big marketplace for churches. Only 4% are Christian. I guess it's over 96% are following the Prince of Darkness. Challenge today is to get involved in reaching college students in our area. There are over 1,000 international students in the capital region of Oregon getting their education ready to head back to some country. Whether it be China, India, Bangladesh, Nicaragua. It's a great opportunity for the church to reach out and impact the globe without ever having to travel across the globe to reach them. What happens on a college campus today tremendously influences the Christian church, our country, and the globe. Please pray about getting involved in the capital region and reaching colleges in God's promise.
So Dave is my buddy, he's my friend, he is here tonight or tomorrow, whatever time you're here, he's here. And I would really like it if you could spend some time hearing Dave's passion. I don't say this in any sort of weird way, but my time is very valuable. I get to the end of every single day and think I do not have enough minutes in this day to do everything I feel like the Lord asked me to do. But I spend my mornings on Wednesdays on college campus with Dave because I believe in the value of college ministry. I believe that the next doctors and lawyers, the next hope of the world, other than Jesus, but the next vehicle to take Jesus, the next vehicle to take Jesus to the rest of the world are college students, are young adults. We have to do our part to be in the life of these college students. And so Dave can give you some ways that you can pray. He can tell you ways you can give. And then he can also give you some ways that you can get involved. And you can be a part of it. And you can say, hey, I walked that road. You know, those years were tough. And I'd like to get involved in those kids' lives. Next month, we're going to take up an offering. It's kind of weird. At Christmas time, that's Jesus' birthday. But we all get presents. I would be so mad if everybody came to my house on my birthday and everybody got presents but me. Right? That's crazy. It's my birthday. You give me presents. I was born so you could give me presents. And that's not why Jesus was born, but every Sunday in the month of December, we're going to take a special offering above and beyond. We're not going to do a lot of give us your money. But through the month of December, we're going to give Jesus a birthday present. We're going to take a special offering, and we're going to take that money, and we're going to use it around the globe. And one of the ways that we're going to use it is with Dave. We're going to give him some money to help him do college ministry. Because he is touching the globe right there on the Schenectady County Community College campus. And as he pursues a relationship and a partnership on Union College, as he is connected to other college ministries, these guys are touching the globe. These people come to America, get degrees, and then go back to their country. And I told you a story once about a guy who did college ministry in the area. Who's this guy that came from a Muslim nation. Called him up and said, hey, you're coming to graduation, I got something to tell you. So he goes and meets up with the guy. The guy says, I was going to ask you if you could find me a way to stay here so I could do ministry in America, but I realized God wants me to go back home. If I can tell just one person about Jesus before they kill me, it'll be worth it. And so this dude came to America, met Jesus, found out that following Jesus may not be the easiest way to live, but it is the best way to live, and decided he was going to go back to a nation that is against living for Jesus. If he could just tell one person, then his death would be worth it. And that's the kind of ministry that Dave does. So please, meet him. Hear from him downstairs after church. and get the opportunity to tell you about these things. Flip over to that bookmark that you got there in Ephesians and talk about one more thing. And this is what we're trying to do. The answer to the problem of post-Christian capital region in the United States of America lies right here in these few verses. So it's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And if you have your own Bible with you tonight, if you don't have a Bible, that Bible in the back of the pew is yours. It is a gift from us to you. Please take that home. Please read that. But if you write in your Bible, I'm going to get to some words. It's just one word. And I think you'll figure out which one it is, but I want you to circle it. It will happen 7 times. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is where you get your circling on. There is, how many churches are there in the capital region? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, and He is in all. And so when the church, the one church of the true living God of the Bible, gets itself out of buildings and into streets, 535,500 comes to 23.4, 23.8, 24 people. So when we stop fighting over entertaining you and start teaching you what the Bible says, some deep, deep, rich food for you to chow down on so that you can go out. Each just make a difference in 23 people's lives. But as long as we keep fighting over which church is best, the devil's winning. Because he renders us ineffective. He keeps us feeding you baby food. He keeps us trying to entertain you with our lights and our band. Which band's better? The guy that sings with this band is better than all of them. He's better looking. He's shorter. His wife is prettier. His in-laws are cooler. So let's stop fighting over how we can be better than the church don't want to be. Stop eating baby food. I'm going to stop feeding you baby food. But we're going to eat some deep, rich, hearty meals together. And we're going to stop calling this the church. And we're going to walk out of those doors and we're going to start